Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea and sit back and let's talk a little bit about astrology, human design, and I've also pulled an oracle card for today. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It was certainly an interesting one for me. Lots of different things going on, and even the weather was sort of reflecting all of that, raining one minute, sunny the next, windy the next. Crazy craziness, but it was mostly a great weekend. And I'm glad to see everybody out there. Good morning, Londa. Good morning, Roseanne. I think I see Suzanne at least ready to listen. Good morning, Mimi. And I'm glad to have you all with me this morning. So let's just jump in. Londa, I want you to type in a message for me in the chat box here that whether or not I can share the message that you sent me this morning, because I want to talk a bit about that if possible. So just let me know, is it okay for me to share that or not? Okay, so let's jump in with the moon. Today, the moon is in the sign of Taurus, and it is moving toward a void, of course, later on in the day, way later in the day, 8:29 p.m. on the West Coast to 11:53 p.m. tonight, the moon will be void, of course. Wonderful. Maybe you'll have some odd dreams if you go to bed that early. If not, it probably won't even bother you. Good morning, Tina. Let's do. I have a good week for that. And Londa says, yes, I can share. So I'm kind of tongue-tied this morning because I myself have been through this roller coaster wheely-deely this morning of emotions. As I was getting ready to do this work this morning, I was feeling very moody, kind of down and low. And then Londa sends me a message and I immediately knee-jerk to the opposite. So I kind of want to share this message with you because I think it's indicative of maybe some of the things that people may be saying out there or that you may be hearing over the next couple of weeks. And I want you to know with every fiber of my being, I do not believe any of this. But this is an email newsletter that Londa received, and it's from the Metatron Tiberon list, I'm guessing, on an update of the crystalline grid energy. So it says, in the ongoing, and this is a quote, I believe, in the ongoing crucible astrology, especially in the months of June and July and August of 2018, rife with planetary gravitational amalgams, the intensity is powerful. Okay, first of all, if someone can't write to you in normal words, then be suspicious, right? Because I can even sit here and tell you what gravitational amalgams mean. I mean, literally, to me, it means like maybe gravitational waves or things that are happening that are coalescing energies together. I don't know. But anyway, the intensity is powerful, this writer says. This untoward energy can lead the unaware, unguarded person into feelings of frustration, anger, anxiety, illogical reactions, self-condemnation. The effects, if unchecked, can create downward spirals of depression, apathy, lethargy, and extreme cases, even suicide. The ongoing polarity will increase annually until 2026. It will not subside until 2038. Yes, you need to fasten your seatbelts, but the wise can navigate this phase of crucible cleansing. Wow, way to stir the pot, right? Way to take the energy of what's going on in the world and turn it into something almost sickening, right? Almost depressing in its words, in its verbiage, in its presentation. And I want you to know that, yes, this summer is an interesting summer with seven planets retrograde, the inner planets, especially Venus. Well, Venus doesn't retrograde until late in the summer, actually early fall. But when we do have a lot of planets retrograde, it does take us to an inner dimension. It calls us inwards. And it calls us inwards for very specific reasons, right? Because our outer world is an outpicturing of what's going on in here. And when we see a world that's polarized, that's sick, where people are committing suicide, and trust me, people have been committing suicide for as long as there have been people on the planet. This isn't something new. It's just more catalyzed at the moment, I think, because we can see it so fast, right? Because of the internet and social media, we are able to, at the speed of lightning, at the speed of sound waves, at the speed of light, we are able to find out what's happening with our fellow human beings on the planet. And so it feels a little bit like it's more intense, but it really isn't any more intense than it ever was. It's just we have faster reactions to it because we have faster access to it. So let me go backwards again, then back to what I was saying about the changes that go on the inner world. If we don't like what we're seeing in our outer world, this is a great time this summer for us to sit back and become the observers of what is going on in our world and what inner changes do we need to make in the world in order for us to see a different world. I can tell you right now, there is no major astrological configuration that's going to take us into this depth of despair for that long a time. But now that I think about it, every day there is some kind of astrological something or another happening. Thus, the reason I get up here every morning and I talk to you about it, because there is always something happening in the sky, and the stars and the planets are really just there as a as above, so below, right? So that we are seeing what we're seeing is the high side, the potential of the energies and what it could bring for us. But yes, you're right. Mimi says the writer is or working from fear, perhaps their personal filter. Metatron as a guide is always a truth messenger, neutral and or positive. So yeah, so I was just making sure I got that whole message out. So thank you, Mimi. And that's exactly it. I mean, I could sit here and I could tell you, oh, it's going to be the summer of hell, but it, you know, and that would do a disservice to the opposing energy, which would be this wonderful energy of change on the inner worlds, the dynamics going on inside of us that has a direct effect on what happens to the outside of us. So good morning, Colleen. Good morning, Michelle. So anyway, as long as there are stars and planets and a moon and the sun, there are going to be planetary energies that take us into weird places, and planetary energies that take us into awesome places. And it is up to us to make sure that we understand what's happening. We don't get into reaction, you know, here on this morning show. We have talked many times about the energy of reaction versus taking a breath and then choosing how to act. Right? What's reaction? It's knee jerk, right? It's that feeling that we get that just says, I got to blow it all up, or I got to hide, or what, it's almost based in fear, flight or fight mechanisms that are born from history for humanity, keeping us alive, that have sort of not been genetically altered yet to go away. It's in the process, so that we are now taking those fears for survival and turning them into things that it was never meant to be. And that is on its way out, definitely. So I did pull a card for this morning, and I already told you that. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do the card reading now, because I've already used a word that I think is helpful in our navigating these waters over the next several months. And the card was right side up, and it was the number 49 card, called Observer. And you see this delightful little fox looking up at the sky. It's really kind of cute, right? Number 49. So we have a 13 there. That's a 4. So maybe a foundational energy here that we can think of as being the observer. So the essential meaning of the card is perspective, objectivity, neutral observation from a distance. The Oracle's message: most people see the world through a personal lens. That's exactly what Mimi just said, right? They closely identify with their feelings and experiences, so much so that they come to believe that these are the only reality. There are times when you need distance in order to gain perspective and understand your circumstances from a more neutral vantage point. Now is one of those times in your life. This is a perfect moment for you to begin to do some exploring. Instead of only considering yourself, consider what you need to understand about the conditions, people, culture, and environment you're engaged with now. You'll be so happy you did. Illumination is the miracle you seek and will indeed find. The relationship message. Sometimes you just can't see the forest for the trees in your way. Feelings can get all jumbled up, and often you hear one thing when a person says another. It can be like an echo of an unresolved past experience dubbed over your conversation. Take time out before you react. Breathe. It's likely the other person has no idea how his or her words have affected you. Take a few steps back and lend understanding to the situation. Have faith in your connection and trust that you can come together. Take to higher ground now and cultivate curiosity about what you observe in yourself, in others, and in the landscape. You will find things much improved sooner than you know. I love that. The prosperity message says it is an advantageous time for you to get some distance from what you're doing and see your work and your projects from a different perspective. The trick is to connect to the essence of your goals and aspirations while letting the form and timing be dictated by spirit. You may be too personally attached to an outcome and unable to see the miracle because it's not turning out exactly as you planned. Oh, good God. Trust spirit. The perfect version of your abundance is right in front of you. Remain neutral and curious and watch the miracle unfold. Well, I think that just about says it all, people, right? That we all have these personal filters. And right now we're looking at the world through today. We're looking at the world through the Scorpio sort of filter. As I didn't know why I was figuring all of this out this morning, but I was looking at where the planets are falling, you know, in the different signs or in the different elements and the different modes that they operate in. And today we have 6 planets in water and we have 8 of them in the fixed signs. So we have fixed water as our filter, and that is Scorpio. And Scorpio does take us a little bit to that dark side, because Scorpio is a master at bringing up the dirt to be able to transmute it or transform it. That's their job, transformation. And Roseanne says, yay, Scorpio. And I say, yay, Scorpio too, even though sometimes it's an intense energy that sometimes we just don't really want to have to deal with. But some days that's exactly what we have to do. And we are growing and evolving. And if we don't deal with the dirt, we will never be able to see the gleam of the light. And that is exactly what we need to do. Let's take a look at some other comments here. Tina says, 50 years ago, many thought it couldn't get worse. MLK, RFK, Vietnam. Then we ended the year by orbiting the first time. On Christmas, the world united. There is always hope. And Tina also goes on to say, and as the Wheel of Fortune and Moon tell us, life is cyclical. So, so true. Londa, so this also was an interpretation of what Tybron Metatron said, and probably took a long article, put it into a small message that I sent to you. So again, was an interpretation. Yeah. And you know, thank you, Londa, for sending that message to me and opening this up this morning, because I wondered why I was pulling the Observer card this morning, because I thought it didn't really fit with what I was going to tell people about what was coming up this week. But now I get it, right? I get it. And the universe and God, the cosmos, God, whatever you want to call it, works in these divinely mysterious ways to bring us to a place where we need to be with the information that we need. And yeah, okay, we do, you know, the planet Saturn, the planet Pluto, they are not in a sign that is mamby-pamby. They're sitting in Capricorn. So we know form and structure is under, I was going to say under attack, but that is not what I mean. It's under review. It's all being changed, right? And then we're going to have in the next 2 years, Saturn and Jupiter meeting in Aquarius, and Pluto a few years later moving into Aquarius from Capricorn. So we have a lot of change on the horizon, but that's no different than we ever have, right? Ever. It's always happening. So we have to keep it in perspective. We have to understand that a part of the reason why we experience this so deeply now is because we are so closely connected, where information is shared, you know, literally within minutes of it happening, sometimes as it's happening, right? People are there with their cameras, right? And they're videoing everything that's going on, and we're seeing it as it unfolds. And it tends to unnerve us and get us maybe to a point of anxiety faster than it would have been in other years. And so it seems like things are worse, but they're not really any worse. They're the same, but evolving. And, you know, I think that maybe the biggest pressure we are feeling right now is that of having had those puppet strings. I think I've talked to you guys before with about the end of the Mayan calendar, where the strings of evolution have now been cut. We're not being led to a specific evolution, that we have a completely evolved consciousness, or the potential for us to co-create with God as opposed to co-creating madness and chaos. And it's like being a teenager, right? And suddenly you turn 18 years old, and now you're an adult, and now you can make decisions that before you could only make if your parents had agreed that you could make that decision. And that's where we are. We're these teenagers now with this freedom road ahead of us, and some of the decisions we're making are immature. And we're in this process of maturing to make decisions that are correct from a place of non-reaction, from a place of taking action consciously. So, and to that end, you know, we are going to see some strange things. And, you know, Mimi, she says, definitely a time to observe how international movement is outing secrets and the emotions that are flying around. You know, for the first time in my life, I've really considered leaving this country, because I feel like at times there is a resonance in this country that isn't true to our forefathers and what they set out for this country. And sometimes I'm quite ashamed of the energy of our leaders and what they are doing to not only the US, but to the world. And I often have to remind myself that everything is perfect and everything is in divine right order, and keep wheeling it in, bringing it back into me. And what does this mean for me? And how am I working with this energy? And what can I do about these things? And that is where our power is, right? I can't control what 45 does out there. I can't control what any of the other world leaders think about what is going on in our country. Even though it just kills me to think about how, you know, we're being looked down on at this moment in time. And anyway, all we could do is change ourselves. Just keep remembering that. Even when it looks bad, there's a reason, a purpose behind it. One that's of a higher service to the whole of the planet, to the whole of the universe, not just to you as an individual, to the United States as a country, or even just to the earth. I mean, this is all about the whole of the cosmos. Okay. So today we have the moon in a sextile relationship to Neptune, and maybe that's where some of this is coming up, right? A sextile is a sharing of the gifts that we have with the world. And so we have this opportunity to speak to some of the things that we can do as individuals that in alignment with our own spiritual purpose and our own spiritual connection and the work that we're here to do. The moon is also trining Pluto. Powerful undercurrents running through everything today, and sextiling Venus. So good energy going on for us to remain in alignment with our values and our values, our core values. We have core values as humans on a planet, and then we have our personal values, and living by those are the things that we have to learn to do, right? And maybe even looking at what it is that we really do value, right? Do we value that greed model? I don't know. That's not where I wanted to take the conversation today, but interesting thoughts coming up, interesting experiences coming up. This week, the planet Mercury, our little messenger planet, moves into Cancer. That'll be on the 12th. So now we're taking a look ahead at the week. Venus will move into Leo, and that happens on the 13th. And on the 13th, we also have the new moon, where the sun and the moon are in a conjunction in Gemini at 23 degrees Gemini and at 12:44 p.m. West Coast time. So this happens to be a super moon, a super new moon. I always forget about the super new moons because they're very powerful, but you can't see them, right? So I always think about the super moon, full moon, because it's right in my face. You can see how big that moon is and how close it is to the Earth. The new moon, of course, is new. You really don't see it, but we can feel it. And this is a super full moon or super new moon in Gemini. And super meaning, for those of you who are wondering what the heck I'm talking about, just means that the moon is coming within 90% of the closest approach it ever makes to the Earth. And that gives it more gravitational pull on our planet, more effect on our planet, more effect on the tides. We may see higher than normal tides, lower than normal tides, like a larger swing between the tidal flows. So again, you're 75% or so water or fluid. So you are also affected by the push and the pull and the tug of the tides and the gravitation on the planet. And that can also mean for us that we are more moody. We are feeling more emotional. So being aware of what's going on in the sky, because as above, so below, means that this week we may be subjected to the pull and the push of the tides and the higher than normal or stronger than normal pull of the moon on the Earth. Also this week, highlights of the week, basically, Mercury and Venus are both dancing with Uranus in a very interesting way this week. Mercury is sextiling Uranus. And, you know, when I think of the two planets, Mercury and Uranus, the Mercury brings us to the mind, the lower mind, if you will, the calculating mind, the thinking mind, or what we normally think of as the mind. Uranus to me always represents the higher mind. So the mind that can, if we elevate our perspective, see things from a completely different way and bring us epiphanies, ahas, and just exciting information, or help us to see through the web of lies and deceit and things like that. The darkness helps us to see better. So we have the two minds then united in an ease and flow of energy this week. I like that. Right? Venus is squaring Uranus this week. So everything to do with love, emotions, the emotional connection we have with one another, love and romance, our values, money is squaring Uranus. So this could be an interesting week for money, right? We might see maybe some weird things going on in the markets. And when I say weird things, it could be like windfalls as well. It doesn't have to be the negative side of losing money or not getting what we want. It could be like surprising aha moments that take us to a place where we can earn really good money or where gifts are given to us, etc. So I wanted to take a look here at something I grabbed. Oh, because I wanted to see. Oh, yeah. This week, remember, the sun is sitting in a money gate. It's at the gate 45 where we really are receiving money. And how do we spend it? What do we spend it on? Well, that's up to us. The new moon in human design will be sitting at the gate 12, which happens to be the gate of in the gene keys that takes us from the lower expression of vanity to the gift of discrimination and to the highest expression of purity. So I think a lot of the energy then we could think of as this gateway, this new moon, will be about purifying and using discrimination to purify our environment, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, whatever it is that it that needs purifying in our in our world. I'll get into that more with the new moon. I want to share one more thing with you guys this morning. I remembered, like last Friday, I was telling everybody that there was some kind of crazy connection with the moon and Uranus over the weekend. And then I couldn't find what I'd said. And so I'm talking with my friend Michelle and I'm like, what did I say? What did I say about the moon? And I still can't find it. And then I decided it was, what day was that going to be? I think it was on Saturday that the moon was conjunct Uranus. So on Sunday, I'm answering an email to a woman that I converse with quite frequently about things about human design and just questions. And she was disconcerted, to say the least, about Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain's suicides last week. And that the reaction of some of the people, some comments that she was hearing about people like them, who have seemingly everything and kill themselves. And I guess the world is just better off without them kind of comments, very hurtful comments. And so in the moment I was writing to her, I stopped literally mid sentence. And I don't know where I went. I really don't know. I was telling Michelle, it was like, you know, just suddenly something just got revealed to me. And I suddenly did a search for the shadow. I started thinking more about the shadow, I guess. And that was kind of mid-sentence. I ended the word at the shadow and I went off and running looking for some information. And I came across some really fascinating things. Now, I am in no way, shape, or form ready to share this in its complete phase with you because something else happened to me last night that caused me to even question all of this information. And so I have to sit with this, but I want to share it because I think it might hold the key to some of the things that are going on. And that is a look at, well, I'm going to call them the triple goddesses, but I'm going to talk about them in the shadow goddesses of the Black Moon Lilith, of the Dark Moon Lilith, and of the Asteroid Lilith. And I don't know if we've ever talked about this, that there are actually three Liliths. If you go to find Lilith in a human, an astrology chart, you are probably going to have to look and make sure you've got the correct one, because astrological programs have the accessible three Liliths, one being an asteroid, and one being the Black Moon, which is a mathematically contrived piece. And then the Dark Moon, which is a hypothetical piece, right? There isn't a real Dark Moon. The Black Moon is mathematical, and the asteroid Lilith is the only body that is really out there called Lilith. And so these three goddesses, if you will, are all about varying shadows that we're carrying with us. And I really believe that these came up, that the reason this is coming up now is because there's so much energy for the divine feminine to come back to her rightful place next to the divine masculine. And of course, the divine masculine kicking and screaming, not wanting to give up its patriarchy or its position. And this is the people, not the energy. The people, the masculine energies are here. It's the people that have taken this energy and usurped them and used them in the incorrect manner. And now the divine feminine building and coming to, you know, her rightful place. And in that, it evokes all kinds of different shadows. So I started to look at these three pieces in my own chart. Where was the asteroid Lilith? Where was the transiting Lilith? And it was kind of fascinating what I found out. You know, I can't make this stuff up. So I want you to remember that I did not make this stuff up. So yesterday, the asteroid Lilith, which was at 26 degrees Gemini when I was born, and the sun was at just barely 28 degrees of Gemini when I was born. Yesterday, that asteroid was at 28 degrees Cancer, which is where my ascendant is. So it was personal for me yesterday. The Black Moon at my birth was at 15 degrees of Leo. And but yesterday it was at 23 degrees Capricorn on my descendant. So the asteroid on my ascendant, the Black Moon Lilith on my descendant. The Dark Moon was at 14 degrees Aries when I was born. That's my midheaven, exactly. 14 Aries, my midheaven. And these are angles in an astrology chart. They're very sensitive points. And when you find planets or points that are transiting across them or are there by birth, that gives them extraordinary power to become expressed in your life. And yesterday, the Dark Moon was at 6 degrees Libra, which is where my part of fortune is. There were these sort of exact connections in my own personal chart yesterday to bring this up. So it means to me there is something very personal here, but also something for me to share with all of you. So then I got to thinking about the Me Too movement, the hashtag Me Too movement. So I looked that up. Actually, my husband did. He was helping me in this. October 16th, 2017 was literally the birth of the Me Too movement. And at that time, the asteroid Lilith was at 25 degrees Gemini. And remember, when I was born, it was at 26 degrees Gemini. Something's going on here, right? So telling me that the shadow is being triggered. These three goddesses are showing us really something very important right now. On January 25th, 2018, the hashtag MeToo movement was born. And it was at 14 Gemini then. Remember, Gemini is a sign ruled by Mercury. Mercury is the messenger planet. These are messages that are coming to us, very powerful messages coming up out of the shadows. And on March 8th this year, the hashtag MeToo movement becomes a total phenomenon wherein it has reached over 196 countries on this planet with women who are participating in the hashtag MeToo movement. And it was still in Gemini at 21 degrees of Gemini. So there's something huge going on here as a message coming up for, and you know, maybe it's coming up for the divine feminine as a wake-up call. But I will be looking at this deeper. I may call on some of you to let me look through your charts and see where this is playing out. And I noted that this was possibly related. I have the triple goddess and I have a question mark, because typically what we think of as the triple goddess, I believe, is the mother, maiden, crone, the three expressions of the moon. And maybe Suzanne, you're out there. You might be able to give us a little more information on the triple goddess. And I think it's really interesting anyway to look at the triple goddess that way. But then I want to look at what perhaps Lilith, asteroid, Black Moon Lilith, and Dark Moon Lilith are, which is the shadow of the triple goddess, right? So we have the expression of the triple goddess, then we have the shadow of this triple goddess as it's seen through the various disguises of Lilith. So I can give you just some of the themes that these women, these goddesses, these, these women bring to us. The asteroid Lilith, these are themes that I find very similar to Eris. They're about being unconventional, about being confrontational. This is about refusing to do things the old way. This is about rebellion, right? Remember back last March and September and November, we had the Eris-Uranus conjunctions, and that was bringing a lot of upheaval, a lot of strange things going on, non-compromising, fleeing oppressors, standing up to power dynamics. Oh yeah, that's happening, right? That's happening. Then the Black Moon Lilith, of course, we know of as our shadow. And she's been in Capricorn. She's been running around with her pals Pluto and Saturn over the last couple of months. And she is stirring the pot around the form and structure of the power grid, right? Literally the powers that be. So bringing up all types of shadows around power and corruption and this dynamic of the good old boy network, right? And how that's crumbling and falling apart. And there's a sense with the Black Moon Lilith, and this is a theme I really want to explore, of cutting us free. She tends to be a body that cuts us free and cuts us free from wherever it is that she happens to be in our chart. And there, I didn't realize this about the Black Moon Lilith. I've never heard it anywhere else before, that she actually has there's a true Black Moon Lilith and a mean Black Moon Lilith, a mean being an average of her position in the chart and the true meaning where it actually was. And just to give you an example, the mean Black Moon Lilith in my chart was at 15 Leo, and the true is at 18 Leo. That puts one in my first house and the other one in my second house. So I've got to navigate the waters between two different houses. And what does that mean for me? And my friend Michelle, whose chart I happened to have yesterday sitting on my desk, hers was only 1 degree difference. So then I thought, you know what? I'm going to pull a man's chart. So I pulled my husband's chart. And in my husband's chart, his Black Moon Lilith is in one sign, and the true Black Moon Lilith for him is in a completely different sign. I think his mean Black Moon Lilith was at 15 Pisces, and his true one is in the early degrees of Aquarius. Interesting, right? And so she wobbles from place to place. And in the words of one of the girls I was reading, and I don't remember what exactly who she was, but I'll get this information for you guys in more complete format as time goes on here. She said what was really interesting to her is the path between the mean and the true placement of the Black Moon Lilith and how it cuts us free. So we'll look at that. And the Dark Moon Lilith is called also the Waldemuth Lilith, after I think he was a Jesuit priest. Interesting, right? That blew me away. In the early 1600s, the Jesuit priests were using astrology. Interesting, right? And there was this hypothetical, what he thought was the discovery of the actual shadow of the earth, or a shadow body in the sky. Turns out to be a smudge on a lens that he's using. And it becomes then this motif of discovery and then loss, right? And a place by house in astrology where we need to go psychically or physically to wash away or release our pain, or to release our wound. And so the themes in the Dark Moon Lilith become that of internal conflict and the indulgence, the unconscious indulgence of our shadows, where if we were able to become the observer, like the card that we pulled this morning, and step back and see, we would note that we were dancing with that wound instead of healing it, that we were unconsciously expressing that shadow as opposed to letting it go. And so there's deeply rooted psychic pain in the Dark Moon that's in need of releasing. And so when we look at those three things in your chart, a picture arises, or at least it did in mine, and it did in Michelle's. And I probably will be looking at other people's and sharing more and more about this. Go on. So interesting stuff happening this weekend. I had to, at some point yesterday, I just had to set it aside. I got too worked up, got too much into it. So I wasn't able to finish my whole presentation that I wanted to do. And I don't think I can do that in a morning show. It's probably going to have to be something a little bit longer, because I think it's worth it for us to look at these three pieces and see what it is that we need to bridge between expression of the triple goddess in her light and the triple goddess in her shadow. Sounds like fun to me. Let's take a look, last look here at what people are saying. Tina, you and I'll talk about that personally. Laugh out loud, running with pal Pluto. Yeah, she is. Always willing to take part of exploring. I know. Thank you, Mimi. Oh, yes, please. I think, Roseanne, you mean, yes, please. You want to hear more about this. And Mimi says, I'm going to show this one. Definitely a time to observe how international movement is outing secrets and the emotions that are flying around. Oh, yes. Right. It was like the G7 conference this weekend was, I mean, just laughable. There's a picture, and I'm sure you guys have seen the picture of all the world leaders on one side of the table and Angela Merkel with her hands on the table, leaning forward across the table. There's Trump sitting like this, like the little pouty boy that he is. And I mean, if they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, you got one right there. If you haven't seen that picture, go see if you can find it. Because it made a huge splash on the internet, on all of the social medias, had this picture running. And I think it's indicative of exactly what's going on, right? So interesting things for the week. Nothing, you know, tragic, nothing. I mean, there's tragedies every day, right? There's nothing new there. And Mimi says that picture is worth a gazillion words. Yes, it is definitely that. I wanted to laugh, but I was also embarrassed. I was really embarrassed for our country to have a leader that, and then I wondered, where is the outrage in this country at what's happening? I mean, I feel like somehow we've just numbed out to all of the antics of our president and the crap that he does, and it's becoming commonplace. And I'm a little bit worried about that, but things change sometimes in a moment, and I'm going to hold out hope that that's the case too. And let's pray for peace this week as our fearless leader meets with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and perhaps maybe a safer world comes out of this week. Anyway, all of that sounds good. Colleen says, interesting is always, as always, ends up interesting. Yeah. Life is interesting. Let's see what else is going on out here. Roseanne is sharing a link, and hopefully that's on the Facebook page so everybody can see it, a link to Chiron and Aries. Do you have the right to say no? Of course you do. And anyways, Colleen says, he's so embarrassing. I don't understand. I know. But we have to, bring it in, reel it in, right? Keep reeling it in. What is this showing me? What is this showing me about me? What is this showing me about my part that I'm here to play in the world? And what does it show us about what's happening and where we're going? And where do we want to go from here? Where do we want to go from here? Do we want to be isolated in a world that's global, that is behaving globally? Do we want to be the one country that's isolated? That's what that picture said. It said isolation. It said not a team player. It said ego. It said narcissism. It said we're getting too big for our britches kind of thing, and we need to come back into the fold. There's many other words I could say that are probably not very flattering too, but I will refrain. Anyway, I wish everybody a wonderful day. I hope I've given you some things to think about, but not worry about. And I will see you all tomorrow morning. Take care. Have a great day. Love you all. Mwah. Bye for now.